All right, just a quick reminder. We got Brad Turner coming up here at 8:30. All right, so Curtis, had the NBA All-Star Sunday. We don't call it All-Star Weekend. It's just one day of NBA All-Star. So this is what I took from it, Curtis. I took this away from it. One of the stories that came out was no positive tests at the All-Star game in regards to COVID-19. No players, coaches, or refs tested positive. But let's not forget here, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons were not able to play because of contract tracing, which, oh, by the way, they could potentially miss the next two games. It has not been determined yet. I will say that if they do miss two games, especially how close the NBA standings are for best record in the NBA, best record in the Eastern Conference, that's not small news. That's significant.
Yeah, and the way they did it, too, kind of, I think we were talking about this, they kind of did it kind of last second there, almost like a little bait and switch there. We almost, you know, we heard about other stuff, but we didn't hear about that till the day of, I feel like.
Well, think about how concerned they probably were that the barber for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid tested positive for COVID-19. So then, obviously, right out the gate, they got worried that if these players, you know, obviously interact with all the other All-Stars, you could potentially, and let me say this, the NBA, this was successful. This weekend was successful. I mean, I know for guys like LeBron James, only played 13 minutes, so you know, we as Laker fans, we didn't want to see him there because we wanted him to just start getting ready for the second half of the season. No one got injured. We all enjoyed the entertainment on Sunday. But for the Philadelphia 76ers, if you miss Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid for any time, if they miss these two games, there's still no word on it. Yeah, that's a pretty unsuccessful trip for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, and I think you and I weren't, when they kind of forced the last second announcement of the All-Star break like a week or so ago too. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of it just because stuff like this, man, it's like,
you just never know.
I get it. Like, I get the money part, but it's like, I don't know. I question, was this really the time to do that?
Money will always win. Money won whether the NBA should have started December 22nd or should have started on MLK Day on January 18th. I know you're going to be incredibly shocked here, but money won, and they started on December 22nd. So they obviously have not paid I don't want to say they have not paid attention to what the players want, but I think ultimately what they're saying is if you want those paychecks, and every player wants the paychecks, there's some sacrifices that you're going to have to make. This is the position that the league is in. And, you know, ultimately I did think the fact that nobody did test positive, I guess you can walk away and say, all right, I guess things went as planned. So there you go. Did you watch the actual game? Did you see any part of the game?
No. I've never was a huge fan of watching the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, in years past, it was I'd watch the three-point and dunk contest. But even after last year's, you know, the whole Dwayne Wade, shorting Gordon, and that score thing, I was like, man, I don't.
Can I tell you something? I don't know why, and it shouldn't have. The Dwayne Wade thing really got to me.
It puts a sour taste in people's
mouths. I was watching this year's slam dunk contest, and I'm not kidding. I was saying, I was watching the game with my girl, and I'm telling her, I'm like, I do not want to hear Dwayne Wade even talk. I don't trust him. I thought that was so dirty what he did last year. And the fact that, you know, there he is. By the way, he wasn't a judge, so that's a good thing. He was just a broadcaster. He was one of the announcers. I like that they took him out from a judge perspective. But I was telling Michael Thompson this. What's the criteria for these dunk contests? I don't know what the criteria is. And a lot of the times, I think people walk away upset or disappointed in the dunk contest. And I'm not even talking about the players that should be in it and aren't in it. Their names in there. I mean, last night, if you were looking forward to Anthony Simmons or, you know, Cassius Stanley, I don't know the hell. Anthony Simmons, the only reason why I know him is because obviously Lakers play against the Blazers. But Obi Toppin from the Knicks. And how are these the dudes representing the slam dunk contest? I think it's every year it's becoming more and more disappointing.
It should be Zach LaVine every year against all the other best dunkers.
All right, well, Zach LaVine and Zion were both at the All-Star game. If there's ever a game, I know they were in the game, so maybe they didn't want to be in the All-Star at halftime, but it's not like anybody's playing defense or trying during the game.
And they missed the shot because what got Zion his hype before he came to the league was his dunks. That's what we all saw on those hoop highlights and stuff. It's like, come on, you guys had a big chance here.
Okay, but they know this, you know, and that's, I guess that's why I have difficulty understanding why the cream of the crop don't end up dunking. Because, you know, I look back, we spent some time talking about Blake Griffin. Remember Blake Griffin in that slam dunk contest?
That was one of the best ones I remember watching.
The buzz around Blake, and I know at the time, I want to say he was a Kia guy, and that's when they brought the Kia. He jumped over the Kia, or really just jumped over the side of the hood.
The hood of it.
But there was, Blake Griffin was on the map before. I thought Blake Griffin was next level after that slam dunk contest. I thought endorsements came from it. He became, I mean, you couldn't watch an NBA game without seeing Blake Griffin represent some type of company. I'm just surprised that agents out there and players out there don't see what the upside can be from doing a slam dunk contest.
Or even some bench guys. I mean, last year we had Dwight Howard. That was kind of fun for a little bit. I mean, he got outclassed because he was kind of old now. But, you know, that's who you want. And it's like, it's hard to even get excited for it. That's why this year, My watching it was the 3 seconds of some highlights on Twitter.
All right, so for the actual All-Star game, game was an incredible mismatch. KD's team, KD didn't play. Joel Embiid didn't play. So, you know, obviously he was a no-go, like I mentioned, the contract tracing. Durant also got GM'd. Can you explain this to me? How is Kevin Durant with his first pick taking Kyrie Irving? I know they're teammates. I get it. I understand it. I know politics are part of life. How you taking Kyrie with your first pick? See what Dame and Steph were doing yesterday?
Cooking people.
Dame was pulling up from 40. Dame's final shot to win the game, wasn't it? It was literally maybe a step or two inside a half court, and it was normal for him. Steph was Steph Curry. God bless KD, and I know it's an all-star game, but if it's ever KD representing a team versus LeBron James representing a team, watch out from a GM perspective. But the game was you know, it wasn't too exciting. I mean, there was nothing really. I think Michael Thompson says it best. You know, we want to see, we're accustomed to in sports, everything's about competition. We're trained to want our team to win, or we're trained to just want to see top-notch competition. I don't know what the balance is. I really don't. At least in the fourth quarter, it would be nice that these two teams are trying. In the first three quarters, if you're screwing around and it's not that big of a deal, okay, that's one thing. But the fourth quarter, I thought last season in the All-Star game, was the most exciting one that I've seen in a while, because they were actually trying and it was a close game. Yesterday was just a complete blowout and Durant's team had no shot. So not that exciting, to be honest with you. Okay, the only other thing from a top NBA story that I want to get into. Kawhi Leonard is planning to play in the Tokyo Olympics. He says, if I feel up to it and feel ready to go around that time, then I'm going to play. So obviously a lot of American stars, USA athletes for the USA basketball team have some decisions to make. You know what it's going to come down to, Curtis? I think for a lot of these players, if you make the NBA Finals or if you don't, because maybe I'm wrong here. Curtis, let me give you some dates here that can, you know, obviously affect what's going on. If the NBA Finals, the latest the NBA Finals can go is July 22nd. All right, that'd be Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Tokyo Olympics begin on July 23rd. USA and France start on July 25th. So imagine if you're LeBron and Anthony Davis and KD and Kyrie and James Harden, okay? And you go 7 games in the NBA Finals and Lakers win in Game 7. Because I will never admit if the Lakers were to lose that game. But let's say they go 7 games and the season ends July 22nd. They have time to go home. They got to go to Tokyo. They go home for a day, shower, shave, grab some clothes, and they're heading out. And that's how close the timetable is for this year and the Tokyo Olympics.
You know, me personally, if I were in that position, would probably take it off. But I've also, you know, throughout the season, you know how when after Lakers games and they have interviews, sometimes there's a smatter of some international interviewers. A lot of people have asked LeBron over the season, at least that I've noticed, you know, are you probably not going to do Tokyo? You're going to be too tired. He's really excited about doing it. So I don't know. I think LeBron might be the exception, just like, you know, Kobe always made it a point to make it out there. But, you know, if they were smart, probably take the time off. But LeBron, I'm not sure. That's the wild card for me.
I think Michael has always said this, and he's talked about it with Clay. So this is my perspective, is Michael's perspective, when he says that it's such an honor to represent your country in the Olympics. And maybe it's not the same way for every player, but I will tell you that all these other countries, you know, a guy like, I look back in the past, Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol, Ricky Rubio, I mean, they're all playing for Spain, and there was no question about it. That was going to happen. Argentina back in the days with Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker with France. And you go down the list of players that, you know, obviously could represent their country this upcoming year. I just look at that, and, you know, I have so much respect. If these players go seven games, let's use LeBron and Anthony. Let's use LBJ as an example. All we've talked about all season with him is his minutes, and he's 18 years in the league. And if you add all the playoff minutes on top of that, that's three additional seasons. Can you imagine if this dude, he missed one game so far this year, and that was the game against the Sacramento Kings. Imagine he plays all the way through the season, plays into the playoffs, Lakers get to the finals, finishes the finals and says, okay, I'm off to Tokyo. I'm going to go play in the USA Olympics. I mean, I don't know how you want to describe that. Usually there's a break. There wasn't a break between last season and this year, and there won't be a break between now and the Olympics.
He's going to have a busy summer because I think Space Jam comes out around that time too.
Well, there you go. Now we got Space Jam in the mix. All right, that is our top NBA stories. This is what I want to do when we come back. Expectations on the second half of the season. And did LeBron James add some extra fuel between the Lakers and the Utah Jazz? I'll tell you what I'm referring to when we come back. Stay right here. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, jump in right now, 877-710-ESPN. By the way, just a quick reminder, as you know, I always do, and I always really try to go out of my way, because we appreciate the partners that go out of their way to be a part of the vision that we have for this show, certainly be a part of the vision that we have for Lakers Talk. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. Thank you. They're one of our newest sponsors. You can get an oil change in around 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com today.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Curtis, you know, got three straight days off, was out in Big Bear for a couple days. When's the last time you've been to Big Bear?
I used to, when I was in high school, snowboard. My cousin was an instructor up there for a while, so I think it's been
a while.
15 years. But, you know, I went there once and that place left a print on me. I you know, that's always an ideal spot, and would love to go back when the time's
perfect
right,
for a couple days. Perfect for a couple days. I mean, weather up there was fantastic. Took 2 hours to drive back down. I mean, such an easy drive to be up in the mountains and in the snow, and then you're here in downtown LA. I mean, that's kind of crazy. But you know, we got work to do. Lakers starting back up here on Friday. By the way, a couple reminders: Travis and Sliwa show. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we got shows all this week, and then Lakers start again on Friday. And then I'm going to do a social show, Lakers Talk social show after this. We'll do it from about 9 to about 9:30 or so, something along those lines. Okay, so something I want to get into here. Did LeBron add some fuel, extra fuel, between the Lakers and the Jazz? Was it just me, or were the Utah Jazz incredibly disrespected for a couple straight days around the All-Star weekend? So here's Utah, kind of minding their own business at 27-9. They have about a three-game lead, two-and-a-half game over the Phoenix Suns, three-game lead over any team in the Eastern Conference, and over the Lakers, three-and-a-half-game lead. I feel like everybody's kind of taking shots at the Utah Jazz. So I'll tell you what I'm referring to here. So LeBron did his, on TNT, him and Kevin Durant were making their picks. And LeBron and Kevin Durant, by the last two picks were Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. First of all, how is Donovan Mitchell not picked before Domantas Sabonis in an All-Star game? How is he not picked before Julius Randle in an All-Star game? Zach LaVine in an All-Star game? Trust me, Zach LaVine is fun. Donovan Mitchell is a fantastic player in the league. LeBron on TNT said, "There's no slander to the Utah Jazz. You guys got to understand, just like in video games, growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton was, we would never pick those guys in video games, never." I disagree with that. Donovan Mitchell is a freaking video game. I mean, am I in my own world on this, thinking that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert were incredibly disrespected? I didn't understand how those were the last two guys. And here's a Jazz team that all they've done is play really good team basketball. And Donovan Mitchell responded. Listen, I'm going to read you off a quote from Donovan Mitchell. He says, "I don't want to be rude, but I really don't care. People have been talking ish about me for a while not doing this. We are not doing this to seek approval from LeBron." Kind of an interesting back and forth. He also said, "Whether I'm picked last or first, I'm here." Listen, I've said this about the Utah Jazz. I've said that in a 7-game set. Just think about the Lakers, the last couple of games they played before we went to the All-Star break. One of those games was against Utah. Granted, nobody was playing, but it was in Utah. And another game was against the Phoenix Suns. And it was our first chance to see both of those teams this year. We finally got an opportunity to see the Jazz. Okay, what's that team look like? Finally got an opportunity to see the Phoenix Suns. What's that team look like? And the Jazz, I remember, you know, I've kind of had this conversation that I still think the Clippers would present a bigger problem to the Lakers in a 7-game set. And it's no disrespect to Utah. It's just the mere fact that Kawhi Leonard is on, you know, a true superstar is on the Clippers, somebody who's won an NBA championship in Kawhi Leonard. Ty Lue is a coach that obviously has won a championship as well. There's more experience there. And I just think, you know, talent for talent in a 7-game set, I do think a superstar in Kawhi Leonard would outdo somebody like Donovan Mitchell. But Donovan Mitchell is a fantastic player. And I felt like every corner that I turned this weekend that somebody was taking a shot at the Utah Jazz, which was a little bit surprising. Okay, so expectations in the second half of the season. So now is the time where you start expecting the Lakers to play championship type of basketball. All right, first half of the season, I can make the excuses. I can sit back and, you know, continue to say that, it's not that big of a deal. All right, Anthony Davis has been injured. Guys, we're so far away from, you know, when the playoffs start. Don't be worried about it. But I think you also kind of get to a point where, all right, second half of the season, some things have to change. I'll tell you what my expectations are in this second half. I expect guys like KCP, like Wes Matthews, to start hitting some shots consistently. I don't think that's too much of an expectation. KCP, Lakers, second half of the season, Lakers need KCP to start being the KCP that we are accustomed to, or we started getting accustomed to in the bubble, the start of the season. He's going to be a key player. So that's not something that you could just kind of turn the page on and be like, oh, well, KCP comes through or he doesn't. No, he can't have, you know, can't continue to have nights where he's 1-for-7 or something along those lines. Wes Matthews, if you're going to get a ton of playing time, or, and when I mean a ton of playing time, 15 to 20 minutes is a ton of playing time. And if he's going to get those type of minutes, got to produce. You got to show something when you're out there. Appreciate his effort, but I don't think Wes Matthews has been the player that we were hoping for when he originally signed with the Lakers. Okay, more expectations for the second half of the season. I expect Anthony Davis, when he's back, to start carrying the Lakers a little bit. Now, that's, of course, got to be healthy, and I'm just going to make the assumption that he's not going to come back until he's healthy. So whenever that is, if that's in 2 weeks, if that's in a month, whatever that time frame is, I expect Anthony Davis to kind of take some of the workload off of LeBron James, because in the first 37 games of the year, LeBron played 36 of them, And, you know, Lakers have the second best record in the Western Conference, or the third best record in the Western Conference. Phoenix actually sitting at number two. And Anthony Davis has missed 38% of the season so far. So when AD comes back, and assuming that he's good to go and he's healthy, my expectations for AD is to start taking some of the workload off of LeBron James when that, you know, obviously when that opportunity presents itself. More expectations for the Lakers. Be a little bit more strategic with LBJ, with LeBron. Kind of ramp him up with big picture in mind. Byron Scott came on with Travis and I'll say maybe a week and a half ago, something along those lines. And I thought it was interesting because he said that he would have some type of a conversation, a side conversation with LeBron, just making sure that they're pacing themselves the right way towards the postseason, because as much as LeBron has been fantastic during the regular season, second half of the season, you obviously start keeping in mind, okay, we're only 60 days away from the playoffs, 30 days away from the playoffs. We're 2 weeks away from the postseason. That obviously, that's in mind. I think another expectation that I probably haven't spent enough time on is Coach Vogel, better job with his rotations. I've kind of, you know, said it a couple different times after games. Why is Montrezl Harrell playing less minutes since Anthony Davis has been out than when Anthony Davis was on the floor? I think Montrez's minutes got to certainly increase. I think the bench guys who are not producing play less. And, you know, I think kind of look at, we're not far from crunch time. So you want this team as prepared as possible as we get closer to the postseason. So those are some of my expectations coming into the second half. And the only other one that I would say is, I think, you know, we should expect Lakers to send some statements when they need to. And what I'm referring to there is, listen to some of these matchups in the second half of the schedule. I'm not saying Lakers got to, you know, play perfect basketball every night. I know that's unrealistic. But March 21st, you got the Phoenix Suns. March 25th, you got Philly. March 31st, you got the Bucks. April 4th, you got the Clippers. Within the first 2 weeks, or 3 weeks or so of the second half of the schedule starting, you got some great opportunities to send some statements around the NBA that it doesn't matter what our record is. When we play the other elite teams in the East or the Western Conference, this is who we are and this is what we are. You got in April 17th, April 19th, you got Utah Jazz. April 10th, you got the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, Lakers got some big games coming up in the second half of the season. And my hope is, my expectation is that they send some statements as they go. Okay, quick reminder here. Pack your victory dance and go all in on fun at Harris Resort SoCal. From dining to unwinding, fun is a sure bet at the best resort in Funner, California. Are you game for a getaway? Start planning your trip by visiting harrissocal.com. You want to get away for a couple days. You want true resort type of lifestyle. harrissocal.com. Appreciate their partnership. I got Brad Turner coming up next, and I know I got a lot of phone lines lit up here. 8:45, I'll take more phone calls. All right, right before the show ends, I'll take more phone calls. So stay patient with me. Stay on here. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I want to welcome in Brad Turner, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, first off, how is your break going? Are you enjoying a little breather away from the NBA?
Well, you know, not much of a breather. I had to work over the course of the weekend, but, you know, it was all good. You know, the people want to know what's going on with the Lakers, the Clippers, the NBA. They want to know. So at the LA Times, we try to give them the best information that we can gather.
Yes, sir, and you certainly do. There was some news that came out earlier today. I'll stick with this because this is, you know, certainly a busy time. Whether there's games being played or not, A lot of teams are obviously jockeying for position, whether it's through the buyout market, whether it's through trying to get some type of a trade. What did you think of this? Mark Stein, the New York Times, earlier this morning put out that there's some optimism with the Lakers. They'll get strong consideration from Andre Drummond if Drummond ultimately leaves the Cavaliers via a buyout. How realistic do you think that is? And what I don't know if long shot is the right word, but how realistic would you say it is for the Lakers to try and land a player that, you know, certainly has got an incredible caliber of being a big man in the NBA?
Well, I've known Mark Stein for a very, very long time. And if Mark Stein puts something out there, then there has to be something to that. And on top of that, I've heard that myself for 2 or 3 weeks. That if that were to happen, if Andre Drummond got bought out, the Lakers would have a chance. And I think the Lakers' chances may have increased once Blake Griffin decided to sign with Brooklyn. Because the Brooklyn Nets were the other team that Andre would consider if he got the buyout from the Cavaliers. So now with that being a position that's being filled as a center position, which Blake is most likely going to play, I think the Lakers have a chance. Now, they just have to be patient because the Cavaliers are trying to get a trade for Andre Drummond. I don't think it's going to happen. No one does for the salary that he makes. But if he gets that buyout, I would not be surprised if he ends up playing for the Lakers.
What about you think I've heard the Clippers being thrown in. Andre Drummond, there's a few places that he obviously makes a ton of sense. Are Clippers a suitable... would they be a destination that if you're a Laker fan, you're worried about? Hopefully Andre Drummond doesn't land on that team.
Well, you have to be worried about that. But if you look at the Clippers, they really have two really good centers. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the Lakers don't have two really good centers, but with Serge Ibaka over there, who's a starting center, and he's basically a stretch center, but can block some shots. With Zubac over there, who's playing well off the bench. And the Clippers have a tendency to play smaller than the Lakers do. You know, they go with Marcus Morris at the five sometimes with Kawhi out there and Paul George. You know, so I don't know if the Clippers would be the right fit for him. Whereas with the Lakers, they can always use another body. And the Lakers do have those, well, basically two spots open.
Right.
I mean, they have to decide. I get the 10-day contract for Damian Jones is going to expire, if it hasn't expired, pretty soon. You know, so they have the Lakers have the ability to get it done because they will have two spots open. I'm not sure what the Clippers have. I think they may have one position available, but you know, you're looking at the defending champions versus a team that's trying to win a title. Hmm. Which team would you rather play for?
You have to tell me. Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, I put out this tweet, and I'll get your thoughts on this. I said, assuming the Lakers are healthy, do they have enough as is to win a championship? What do you think? I was a little surprised about the amount of – and I'll tell you the results in a second. But do you think if the Lakers didn't make a move, as is, just the way the team is constructed, is that enough to win an NBA championship?
I think so. Because if AD is healthy, 100% healthy, and LeBron James continues to play the way he's playing, then the Lakers have two of the top five best talents in the NBA. Now it just happens be so that Brooklyn has three of the top 10 guys, right? And KD, if he's healthy, coming back to play, James Harden, Kyrie, that's an incredible threesome they have there. But I just like the Lakers more because they won a championship. They have, again, two guys that play great defense. Whereas we're not so sure about the defense they play in Brooklyn.
Sure.
They play some of the time. And another thing we can't forget, there's a rookie coach there. Steve Nash has done a good job, but he's also a first-year coach, where Volk has been a coach before he got to the Lakers in Indiana, Orlando, and he just led the Lakers to a title. That also plays a part in this. And the Lakers are deep. Now, Booker's getting Blake Griffin, having DeAndre Jordan, that extends their bench some. But the Lakers have a deep team when they're all out there and healthy and they're playing.
Brad Turner taking some time to join Lakers talk. So, BT, the tweet that I put out, 57% think the Lakers need another piece, that they cannot win a championship as is. I was a little surprised by that. I didn't think it would be that high. But I think there's, you know, one thing that I'm sure you get a lot to, just your interaction with Laker fans. Another rim protector and a 3-and-D type of player is what I've heard the most from Laker fans. And I get it. I think that's a, you know, very fair. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lakers have two roster spots. And we'll see what eventually happens on that front. BT, what can we expect the second half of the season? What are you expecting from the Lakers? How much of the second half is it, okay, now we're getting closer to the playoffs, we really got to start playing our best basketball? How much is it, no, we're still very strategic with, you know, our players and how we're using them? What would you expect in the second half as far as, I guess, prioritizing winning over just being ready come playoff time?
Well, the first thing is you have to get AD healthy. You have to get Marc Gasol back out of the health and safety protocol. And then we have to all hope that the Lakers and every other team, when they start playing these games, no one has tested positive because the virus is still out there. Now, that's still my biggest concern when the second half starts. How many guys will come back and be able to play? How many teams will have a full roster? And will they have a full roster from now until the playoffs start? And then during the playoffs, will there be a full roster throughout the playoffs, or will you have guys missing because they're in the protocols, or will you have guys out, or will they be forced to postpone games? Those are the main things that cross my mind right now. Now, say all those things work out great and the Lakers don't have any more issues with guys having to sit out. I think the number one thing is it's just getting better as a group because you had AD, he would have missed, 4 weeks? At the minimum, you had Dennis Schroeder was out for 4 games for a couple of weeks. Marcus been out for a while. You know, so now you have to build that back again. And it's time to do that. But they have a tough schedule, which is not a big deal to me. But they do have a stretch where they play a lot of games. And do you start resting LeBron James a little bit more to make sure he stays healthy? I mean, there's just so many ways to answer that question. It's so difficult to answer. I think knowing Volker the way he's been, he wants to get the team together and start building again because they've been off for, a week? So get that slow build, and you want to start playing your best basketball, in this case, at the end of April, going into the playoffs.
Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk here on 710 ESPN. BT, how much are you looking forward to, just from a personal level, looking at some of the competition that's coming up? March 21st, the Lakers got the Suns. March 25th, Philly. March 31st, the Bucks. April 4th, you got another matchup against the Clippers. The 10th, you got Brooklyn. The 17th and 19th, you got the Utah Jazz. There is some great, great competition. There are a lot of games that I skipped in between that are also, you know, can be intriguing matchups, have their own storylines of their own. How much are you looking forward to what the rest of the NBA has here from now until we get to the postseason?
Look, Alan, that makes it fun. You know, as a reporter, as a writer, as someone like you who's in broadcast, you look forward to that because you want to write your best stories and you expect to see both teams, and particularly the Lakers, playing some of their best basketball. Everyone's trying to prove a point that they are the better team, that they should be the team that should be considered for the championship. And the Lakers are the defending champs, so they know they're going to get their best shot from everyone they play, whether it's the Brooklyn Nets, the Utah Jazz, the Milwaukee Bucks, or it's the Dallas Mavericks, or it's a team that's just not playing very well.
Sure.
They want to give the Lakers hell to say that we beat the NBA champions. Now, if you're the Lakers, you want to let them know that, yo, we're still the champs. Take this foot in your you know what and keep it moving. And if we see you again, you're going to get this other foot in your new year what, and we're going to keep it moving again. We want to show you that if we see you in the playoffs, this is what you're going to get, both of these feet in your new you know what.
You know, it's funny, BT, I was saying before we started this conversation, I was talking about some of those games and that, yes, not every game is going to be so meaningful to the Lakers, but I think there's definitely statement games coming up in the second half of the season. And if Anthony Davis is 100% healthy and he's good to go, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers, you know, almost reminds me of last season. Remember that last season before the NBA stopped, you had that weekend where you had the Bucks on a Friday and you had the Clippers on a Sunday.
Yes.
Lakers won both of those games. Mm. I know it was a regular season games in March, but didn't you feel like the Lakers, those games meant something to them? They were trying to send a statement, and I feel like we have some games like that coming up in the second half.
Oh, without question. They wanted Milwaukee to know that if we meet NBA Finals, this is who we are. They wanted the Clippers to know that if we meet in the Western Conference Finals, this is what we have. This is what you're going to get. This is what we're bringing. So you want to let the Utah Jazz know, for example, you guys kicked our butt in Salt Lake City. We owe you. We'll be ready for you next time we see you on the court. You want the Clippers to know that you guys are most likely the second best team in the West. And we think the Lakers are the best team in the West, even though Phoenix and Utah are 1-2. And if you play the Suns, you want the Suns to know, good win, yeah, Staples, but we got you. We're coming to get you when we see you as well. You want all those teams to know that we will bring it when you see us on the court. And if we see you in the playoffs, we will keep bringing it because we want to defend our title.
BT, great stuff as always, my man. We will see you on Friday when the Lakers start their second half schedule against the Indiana Pacers. Always appreciate the time, my man.
Likewise, Alan. See you on Friday night, my friend.
All right, man. Sounds good. There's Brad Turner right there from the LA Times. Always does fantastic work. Obviously, he covers the Lakers and just great relationships within the team. So a lot of times he's either breaking stories, confirming stories, whatever the case is. But BT is one of the best in the business. Your phone call is coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. We'll give some final thoughts. Jeannie Buss was on First Take this morning. I do want to play something she talked about as far as her responsibility to the city and to Laker fans. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, is your vehicle due for service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change for over 30 years. Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. Don't drag the kids through a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car. You stay safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. You literally stay in your car. You just pull up. Pull up. They pull the garage open. They start working on your car. Hang out in your car for about 15 minutes, and then you're gone. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, like I mentioned. Drive in and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Mike in Glendora. Mike, appreciate you waiting as long as you did. What's going on, man? You're on Lakers Talk.
I appreciate you, Alan. The best Lakers talk show, honestly, man. I got to tell you, man, I give you a heads up. You know, I can't wait till the second half start of the season. I just want to tell the Lakers nation not to worry about, you know, don't you ever underestimate the heart of a champion, first of all. Second, AD, if you recall last year in the late playoffs, he wasn't 100%. He was banked up. I mean, against, believe, Nuggets, against the Miami. But then they pulled it through, you know.
Yeah, and I'll say this, Mike, and as far as Anthony Davis goes, and I'm sure by the time we see him on the basketball floor, you'll be 100%. Yeah. Maybe not 100%, but as in they're going to be very cautious with him. So by the time he comes back, you'll be ready to go. What'd you think earlier? I was talking about Blake Griffin to the Nets. You think that's a big deal, or is that not as big as some people are making it out to be?
No, it's not a big deal, honestly, because the Nets, they have a lot to worry. I mean, over there, I see Boston. Boston is a great team. It's a sleepers right now. But I think also Milwaukee, they got a lot to prove, plus the Philly. I don't think so. The Nets, like your host said earlier, you know, they have like a rookie coach, you know. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, how many games Tyree Irving and KD played playoff games? It hasn't been like 2 years, right?
Haven't
in the playoffs.
How many have they missed? Yeah, they've. I know he missed. Mike, appreciate you calling in. All right, I want to get to a couple things about with Jeannie Buss, but I know he missed. He missed a playoff series at one point with Boston. KD obviously missed last season. The year prior to that, he got injured in the NBA Finals, but he was obviously battling with injuries before he came back with Game 5, and that's when he ruptured his Achilles. Okay, well, that became an interesting storyline in the last 24 hours, Blake Griffin going to the Brooklyn Nets. I do want to – so a couple things here. Thursday, I did a show with Travis. We got a show again tomorrow, Travis and Sliwa, 7 to 9 tomorrow. Thursday, we did a show, and Jeannie Buss was nice enough to take some time, join our show, and she was fantastic. And, you know, I looked today, and I saw that she was going to come on First Take, and there's a couple things I want to play from that interview because it kind of ties into the conversation we had with her on Thursday. Here's Jeannie Buss talking about her responsibility to the Lakers, to the city, to the organization.
You know, that came from my father. It's about inclusion, about everybody coming together and doing great things. And you know, it's the Lakers have that ability. It's a platform that's bigger than any one owner, any one player, any one coach. It belongs to Laker Nation. Laker Nation is, you know, the heartbeat of you know, the Lakers and what it stands for. They'll be around a lot longer than I'll be around. And, you know, this is my time to make sure and protect the brand and protect what our fans have come to expect from the Buss family, from this organization.
All right, that's Jeannie Buss on First Take. So I want to give a little bit of perspective here because part of the conversation we had with Jeannie on Thursday was something similar to it was basically, you know, you have plenty of chance. You guys have won. So Lakers have 17 championships. Under Dr. Jerry Buss, it was 10 of them. And I have this curiosity of, geez, I mean, you win and the expectation is, no, well, you got to keep winning. Yeah, there is no, well, we're bad for a few years. Lakers didn't make the playoffs for a few years, and Laker fans thought the world was going to end. But the reality is this: they won a championship in 2010. They won a championship in 2020, which means it was only 10 years before they won another championship. Two in that little pocket, two of three championships, and then obviously this year we'll see what happens. But you got one already under your belt with LeBron. Just gotta respect. Got to respect the organization always trying to deliver a championship. And trust me, you know, this is not normal. This is not common. And I find it interesting with Jeannie because she's obviously trying to live up to expectations that probably will never be able to be lived up to because her father is arguably the greatest sports owner in the history of sports. Owned the team for... In his 34 years, 33 years, something along those lines, they made it to the NBA Finals 50% of the time, more than 50%, something along those lines. I mean, just ridiculous stats of that's how often the Lakers were in the NBA Finals or winning championships. But I do think it's pretty remarable that you got a fan base that if you're not winning a championship, the world is about to end. And it's pretty special to kind of be in that position because here the Lakers are again. They could be just a few months out from doing it again, and you got a chance to go back-to-back. Lakers were about to play. They're playing Sacramento right before the All-Star break, and I think the last championship the Sacramento Kings won was in 1951. 51. And here the Lakers go 10 years, and the world was about to end. Another thing I thought was interesting from Jeannie Buss, there was an article that came out. I actually referenced this last week on Lakers Talk. Brian Windhorst, and I want to say Bobby Marks, worked on an article talking about the Lakers could face massive luxury tax next season. Listen to what Jeannie Buss is talking about in this window with LeBron James, that it kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult with the loss of revenue due to no ticket sales in the arena. You know, we are in a league that is dictated by a salary cap, a collective bargaining agreement. So we have to abide by all those rules. But, you know, the luxury tax is for teams that, you know, have championship aspirations. And certainly that is something that we want to keep the Lakers at the top of the conversation. And, you know, once LeBron James decided to join the Lakers, you know, the way he's playing, he doesn't seem like he's 36 years old. But when you have a player like LeBron James on your team, you got to go for it. You got to use that opportunity to win. So, you know, we'll manage the cap just like every other team in the league has to do. We play by the same rules.
I think that's important what Jeannie said right there. Jeannie Buss was on First Take with Stephen A. Smith, Molly Karam, and Max Kellerman. I think it's important what she said right there. When you have a guy like LeBron James, you're in this window. You know, when Kobe, back in that window where he was in his prime and you didn't make the playoffs and you felt like you were kind of wasting years away before you got Pau Gasol, now you're in your window. Now it's you go all in because you just don't know how long that window is going to last. And I think with LeBron, it's even more it's even more immediate because he is 36 years old. You got to kind of do whatever you got to do, because it might be 10 years once LeBron James retires before you're competing for another championship. You never know. You absolutely don't know, and that's just the reality of the situation, and you don't know what happens with other players and guys that get drafted and teams that players that want to play together, and now you have, you know, a stacked team with three stars, whatever the case is. You just don't know. So I mention that because, you know, whatever happens next season, because Lakers could face, you know, this massive luxury tax bill if they go out and they re-sign all their players. But I think also just looking at this season, whatever it takes. You know, whatever it takes to get another shot at winning an NBA championship. Because you know what Brooklyn's doing right now? They're doing whatever it takes to try to win in this window that they have with these amazing players. And I think you're going to kind of see that. That's why this next couple of weeks, 3 weeks, can really determine an NBA championship or not for some of these teams, predicated on what kind of moves you make or what kind of moves you don't make. Sometimes the moves you don't make are just as critical as the ones that you do make. So that's what's going to make, you know, obviously this such an exciting month of March. And then after that, whatever you got is probably what you got for the rest of the way. And according to Laker fans here, in this tweet that I put out earlier today, 57% think the Lakers need another piece. 43% think they're good. They could win a championship as is. 57% think that the Lakers need another piece. All right, real quick reminder, we're going to do the social show, Lakers Talk social show on ESPN Los Angeles, on YouTube, Twitter, all that. So make sure to go over there if you want some more Lakers Talk. If you miss any part of the show, ESPN app or on iTunes, download the full 2 hours. Thank you to Michael Thompson. Thank you to Brad Turner. Curtis, great job. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you guys joining the show. Have a great night.